Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. It's Monday. It's time to talk with Ms. Steely Fischbacher. She is Director of Policy for the Texas Wheat Producers Board and Association. Ms. Steely, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
You're more than welcome. We've had some weird happenings here. The weather has been summer-like. We're expecting a cold snap. It rolls in this morning. But let's start our day. The markets have been the crazy thing. I've seen wheat numbers and all grain numbers have just kind of jumped through the roof the last week or so. What's going on with the markets and grain?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think you nailed it right there is the main topic. I think all eyes right now are on the wheat market and what's happening across ag commodities, but specifically in the wheat market. We've seen just skyrocketing prices, and we've got, you know, a few things at play there. The number one catching a lot of attention and most of the headlines and certainly has a huge impact is the invasion of Ukraine. Between Russia and Ukraine, they usually typically have about 29% of global wheat exports coming out of those two countries. So at this point, Ukraine is obviously not exporting any grains. They've shut down all of their ports, and even some reports have sustained some damage from the war. So kind of long-term prospects or how long those ports might be out of play is unknown at this time. And then Russia, early on, they did have some ports operating, but it seems like the cost of doing business, just because of the risk in that area, has really kind of shut down business through sanctions and then insurance and transportation cost increases. So we really just don't see any grain movements in the short term from that area. And that's having a huge impact on what we're seeing in our wheat prices. We came into this point with tighter global stocks than what we've seen recently. So we already have, you know, short supplies on hand, and then we're looking at this 29% of wheat being questionable coming into the global market, and so that's really lent just significant support to our prices. It's been just the quotes that I'm seeing are that we're just at maximum uncertainty in the wheat market, and we've seen that volatility in the prices. We've even seen there was a day or two in there where we see prices go down significantly. So it's just very, very volatile, but certainly a huge jump in what we've seen in prices. So we look at, well, what's happening currently with our wheat export sales? You know, is there additional demand coming in right now because of this uncertainty? And that's not what we're seeing. Our export sales reports, you know, are a week behind. We get that data at the end of the week for the previous week. And so last week we had 11 million bushels sold and have those commitments in, mainly for Mexico, Japan, Taiwan, Colombia, and the Philippines. So those would be a list of our typical customers, you know, where we usually would send our wheat. So nothing new that we're seeing or different in terms of, you know, changing wheat export patterns yet. But that's what we're seeing right now. It's really hard to get a lot of sales when we have this much uncertainty and prices this high. So we'll just have to continue to monitor that. You know, what does this do to our export projections? Our current marketing year commitments are the lowest that they've been since 2016, just because of where our prices were even, you know, 2 weeks ago before we saw this recent escalation. So it's going to be something that's important to watch.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I have not commented on that is also a huge developing story is just the ongoing drought and crop conditions for our hard red winter and winter wheat acres in general. I looked it up this morning. 96% of our Texas wheat growing area is categorized as in drought, and that statistic is the same or worse for many of our neighboring hard red winter producing states. We're just not seeing any relief from the ongoing drought. 73% of the U.S. winter wheat area is categorized as drought. Here in Texas, 75% of our wheat is rated poor to very poor. You know, our farmers with where prices are right now would love to be, you know, marketing more of their wheat, buying some of those futures contracts, but it is very hard to do when they're looking at their crop conditions, and we just have so much dry wheat out there. We have wheat that still has not emerged because it's been too dry. We have wheat that did emerge and is not doing well, has not had the moisture that it needs. And then you mentioned that warming up period that we had that brings our wheat out of dormancy, yeah. and it becomes, you know, a greater need for immediate moisture that we just have not seen. So we've got all of these things at play, obviously having a huge impact on the market and a lot of uncertainty for our farmers.
Dr. Jordan Bell at Texas Pan Ag on Twitter put up some remarkable photos of some dry land variety trials in Ocotlán County. There was also a picture tweeted out of looking at the different varieties, TAM 114, March 5th of 2021, then March 3rd of 2022, and another bad plot in 2022. And it's just remarkable when you see those pictures, the difference from just a year ago, comparing the varieties of wheat and what it looks like coming out of the ground. That's just another thing that the wheat farmer didn't need at this point.
That's right. It's just been an ongoing struggle this year.
Another thing that's tied in, I was hearing about the Ukraine. I don't think a lot of people realize how much the Ukraine and Russia supply wheat and grains to the world, but also fertilizer. Is that a concern? Because a lot of fertilizer is manufactured in that part of the world. Will that have a bigger effect down the line if this conflict continues?
Yeah, that is absolutely a concern. We already have, you know, a near-term problem securing those supplies at an affordable rate. And then we're talking about a supplier of some of fertilizer products and some of the materials that are eventually used in fertilizer products being disrupted, and for who knows how long. It absolutely will have an impact as we move forward in the long-term fertilizer markets, and we've seen a lot of volatility there as well.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the international scene, it was welcoming news that Vietnam was going to open up and start importing wheat into their country and open up that avenue of trade for us. There's been some developments in that situation.
Yeah, that's right. So at the end of 2021, we had that agreement between the United States and Vietnam that they would end their 3% tariff on the imports of U.S. wheat. And so we've seen that officially be in place. And as of February 6th, that was our first opportunity to get a shipment of U.S. wheat into that country without that tariff. Just on that one vessel of U.S. wheat, that shipment was $1 million less than it would have been if the tariff was in place. Mm. So it's a very big financial impact to get those barriers removed, make us more competitive. Up until this point, Australia and Canada had been able to access that market with zero tariff. So now we're right in there with them on competitiveness, which will help us in that region. Anytime that we can identify, you know, 3% tariff does not sound like that big of a detriment. But when you are at 3 and your competitors are at 0, it makes a big difference, especially when you look at the numbers, right? That $1 million per vessel, that is a huge significant barrier that we had that is now gone. So these are the type of things that U.S. Wheat Associates, I know you talked to Steve Mercer recently, who works for that organization and is funded by not only farmer groups like Texas Wheat, but USDA as well. These are the types of things that they go out and find and fix for our U.S. farmers that really have an impact.
Major, major issue there. It, like you said, 3% doesn't sound like a lot when you look at maybe my dollars and your dollars, but when you're talking about a whole cargo ship, millions, it runs into the millions. It can be a detriment. Inputs have been something that we've talked a lot about, input cost and what it costs to get a product to the market. And there's been some developments in the rail situation when we talk about input cost.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, our farmers, they really have to pay attention to all of these various things that are happening that are out of their control.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, the wheat industry has partnered very heavily to provide some input on is what's happening in the rail space. Over the last 5 to 10 years, what we've seen as a trend is that our rail rates are increasing. Mm-hmm. We look at, you know, what's happening to all of our costs. They're almost all increasing. So I guess that makes sense. But then when we look at, well, what's the rail rate for moving wheat from point A to point B? And what's that same rate for, you know, different commodities? Let's think sorghum or corn. And it looks like wheat, from our data, has been more expensive to move. Even whenever you kind of extrapolate it out and make it where you're comparing apples to apples, we're still more expensive. So why are we not getting these favorable rates?
Wow.
And that's something that we've really taken on as an industry. We set up a working group across various states and U.S. Wheat Associates to focus on this issue and try to make some headway. And so one of the things that's popped up during that work has been this proposed merger between the Canadian Pacific Railway and the Kansas City Southern. Right now, we only have 7 major railroads operating in the United States at the Class 1 status. And so this would take that down to 6. So we start asking ourselves, what's that going to do to our competitiveness? So as of last week, the National Association of Wheat Growers and U.S. Wheat Associates submitted comments to the STB. This merger is now under final review. And our comments are just asking for that board to take into consideration the competitiveness aspect. We want to maintain adequate access and competitive rates for wheat growers, and we think that's very important that we weigh in with our concerns about this merger. Anytime you're consolidating, a lot of times what we see for our farmers is less favorable prices and rates. And so we were very excited to be able to submit those comments and continue to engage in that process. And then one of the things we pointed out and is of special concern is the benefits that Canadian farmers have under their rail system. They have some additional protections that we don't have, and they're kind of, in some circumstances, insured better rates. And so if we connect these three countries by doing this rail merger, which would connect Canada, the United States, and Mexico for the first time on this Class 1 rail, what would that do if the Canadian farmers have those benefits in place and they have better rates than our U.S. farmers? Does that make us less competitive to get our wheat to Mexico? And that's a question that we raised and we'll continue to kind of highlight as this merger goes through this process. But one of the ways that we try to represent farmers, because we know that most of our farmers out there are in the field and trying to handle what's happening in these crazy markets and inputs, and they're not necessarily at their computers at home writing comments to the STB. So we're trying to do that for them.
We could probably learn a lesson from the meatpacking industry about consolidation and housing opportunities. I mean, the more we keep cutting down, it creates a bottleneck and prices go up because they have a monopoly on the business, and just not good overall for the producer or the consumer in those matters. So that's one thing that Texas Wheat looks hard at is the legislative side and what they can do to help producers across the country. And speaking of the legislative side, some new developments in the House on Title I.
That's right. So the House this past week started their hearings that they want to hold to kind of prepare for farm bill deliberations. We are slated to have a new farm bill in 2023. We'll see how that timeline comes about. But very good news to see that they're starting oversight hearings. And also, we were very welcome that the wheat industry was invited to participate in that hearing and give the wheat industry views of what's worked in Title I, what might need to be changed, how was that program implemented. All of these are very important topics to be talking about right now as we think about, well, look at these challenges that our farmers are facing right now and how does Title I help them and what could be changed so that it could help them better. And so what that committee heard, there was a lot of conversation about how the programs were implemented and some changes, such as the annual enrollment process and things like that. But really what they heard is for the future, several commodities represented said we need improvements to Title I safety net, specifically in the price loss coverage program in terms of increasing reference prices. So for wheat, our reference price is at $5.50. If you look at what our futures markets are doing right now, that's not a relevant price. If you look at what our inputs and cost of production are right now and have been moving toward over the past, 5 years or so, our cost of production continues to increase. $5.50 is no longer a price that makes a lot of sense in terms of a safety net. And so having that conversation early, I think, is very important, and hearing directly from those farmers that testified was a good first step in this process. Kind of just one tie-in with this conversation, we're talking about Title I. Right. I can't really get offline here without mentioning the March 15th deadline. Mm-hmm. That is an upcoming deadline for ARC PLC election and enrollment. It's a two-step process. You have to choose what acres you want enrolled in which program, and then as well as go ahead and sign those contracts and get enrolled. So just making sure our farmers remember that as we think about Title I and what could be improved, that you still do have to sign up for that by March 15th.
Right ahead of us. You can find that information on the ARC PLC parameters for the 2022 decision on texasweed.org. The wealth of information. You can see those great tweets by Jordan Bell and some producers around the area of what fields are looking like, what they're facing, this drought that is really gripping us strong. Is there a zero timeline for producers to make a decision on what they do with that crop in light of the lack of moisture out there for the season, especially on the winter wheat end?
Sure. For their crop insurance, kind of, we're right in that time frame where we have to make some of those decisions.
Yeah.
If you're just going to take that grain to, or you're planning on taking that wheat on to harvest, you might have a little bit more time. But if you want to change your plans and do something different with your crop insurance, this is the time that you're making that decision.
Yeah, most definitely. And we're expecting a little bit of precipitation this week and throughout the day today on Monday. We'll have to see how that turns out, but lots of decisions ahead. And like you said earlier, Mrs. Fischbacher, most of these things are not in the hands of the producers to control with weather, with the geopolitical situations across the globe, and the trade agreements trying to hammer these things out. But that's what Texas Weed does, is stand in that breach to keep you informed, to let you know what's going on. TexasWeed.org is the place with all the information to help you out. Once again, Ms. Teeley, some great information today and some things to think about as we move forward and head toward the spring.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Anytime. All right. Thank you for tuning in to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness Hour. Have a great and safe day.